name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today we hear yet more sibling rivalry from the scriptures. Yesterday we heard about how Joseph's brothers were jealous, so they plotted to kill him, and then they sold him into slavery. And today we hear the parable of the prodigal son. And most of the time, when people hear the parable of the prodigal son, they think about who? The prodigal son, of course. That's why it's called the parable of the prodigal son. But that, when our Lord first gave this parable, when he first said it, that was not whom the focus was on. The focus was rather on the elder brother, the guy who wouldn't come into the party. And why was that the case? Well, because the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus, but the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Say, we're the good boys. We're the ones who do what we're supposed to do, but these people over here who are sinners, Jesus welcomes them and he eats with them. He's going to get sin cooties. And so he gave the parable. And of course, with any parable, we have to ask ourselves, who do the people in it represent? And of course, the father is God. The younger son are those tax collectors and sinners. And the older son is the goody boy, the one who at least never on the outside sins, though obviously he has sinned, because he's envious of his younger brother, and he's resentful towards his father. Because here's, you have the young brat who says, "Dad, I wish you were dead. Give me my half of the inheritance," and he takes it, and he blows it on everything. And what is this, the older brother probably thinking? "My dad is stupid. He gives this punk half of the inheritance and he blows it. And does he ever give me anything?" No. And when the younger brother comes to his senses, and notice he comes to his senses gradually. At first he doesn't realize what he has done was wrong. He's just basically, "I'm hungry, and my dad treats his hired laborers well, so I'll just go back to him and I'll say, I don't deserve to be your son. Hire me so I have enough to eat." And we don't really ever know whether the younger son has progressed beyond that. We do know that the father is happy to have him back because, as he has said, he was dead, spiritually dead, and now he is alive. He was lost, but he was found. But the focus of the parable is really upon that elder brother and challenging him to have that same joy which the father has at the return of his younger brother. This guy, these people, they haven't repented yet, but they're coming to Jesus and listening to him so that at least they're hopefully on the way back. Rejoice that they're no longer lost, that they're no longer dead, that they may realize what they have done is wrong and turn from their sins. And the interesting thing is, we don't have a resolution in this parable. We don't know, first of all, whether the younger son really repents or not, and we don't know whether the older son is listening to his father and repents of his envy and goes into the celebration and welcomes back his brother. We don't know these things. And so it's really up to us, just as it was up to the tax collectors and the sinners and the Pharisees and the scribes, to provide the end of this parable. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.